when everybody figures out the big lie about the environment, this is why I'm the most hopeful, because I think people are starting to figure it out. The big lie is that it's going to cost jobs, it's going to cost money. The economy is a wholly owned subsidiary of the environment, not the other way around. You can have healthy jobs and a healthy economy.
That was Emmy-nominated actor and environmental activist Ed Begley Jr., who moderated a panel discussion on the importance of the oceans. WMNF asked one of the panelists, Philippe Cousteau, the grandson of Jacques Cousteau, why the health of the oceans should be important to Floridians.
People should care about the ocean because the ocean is the life support system of this planet. It affects all of us no matter where we live. It's the primary source of oxygen. It regulates our weather, our temperature, our climate. And it is a source of food for the world's populations and provides hundreds of trillions of dollars worth of services that we don't otherwise have to pay for. Protection against storms.
Cousteau pointed out several ways people could make a positive impact on their environment.
You know, the average piece of food travels 1,200 miles. So think about buying local and organic. Think about the light bulbs that you have, the paint that you use, as I said, the cars that you drive, and the things you volunteer for organizations or community, and certainly who you vote for on a local, national, and a state level.
The city of St. Petersburg recently was named the first environmentally friendly green city in the state, as Mayor Rick Baker pointed out.
Just 3 weeks ago, St. Petersburg was named by the Green Building Coalition as the first designated green city in the state of Florida. And we are now the only green city designated in the state of Florida. We're very proud of that fact. And we're going to continue that effort.
Mayor Baker also lauded his city's conservation of fresh water through the use of reclaimed water.
And also developed the first and largest reclaimed water system in the United States, which has resulted in the fact that despite the fact that St. Petersburg is now the fourth largest city in the state of Florida, we use less water both on a per capita basis and on a gross basis than we did 25 years ago.
Dr. Noel Brown previously served as the director of the United Nations Environment Program's North American Regional Office. He stressed the urgency of the need to act in order to save the oceans.
There is an impending crisis of the seas, and it can no longer be treated as a planetary sewer or a resource farm for all that can be exploited aggressively or plundered systematically. Science has been very consistent in warning us about the impending catastrophe unless action is taken. But few seem to be listening, and there is no sense of urgency or any sense that we need to act now.
Often the excuse is made that the environment can't be protected because it would be too economically costly. But Dr. Vladimir Golitsyn, who is the former director of the United Nations Division for Ocean Affairs and the Law of the Sea, feels that conservation would make economic sense if the costs of the ecosystem management were incorporated into market prices.
Traditional market prices cover the cost of capital and labor, but market prices do not cover the cost of reducing a fish stock, of damaging habitat, or waste disposal and pollution, and other what can be called ecological costs. Therefore, we should find a way how we can introduce the cost of ecosystem management into market prices.
Dr. Frank Muller-Karger is a professor of biological oceanography in USF's College of Marine Science and serves on the U.S. Commission on Ocean Policy. He listed several changes that need to be made to the nation's emphasis on science in order to remain a world leader.
We need to strengthen education, especially ocean education, science education. We're falling behind Europe. We're falling behind people in China and Japan. They're generating more PhDs than we are. We need to incorporate science in decision-making. Scientists do their own thing in academic institutions, and managers of resources do their own thing in their structures and government. All of this really needs money, and that's really where our government is falling flat, because we're funding oceanography and ocean science at the same levels that we did 30 years ago. In the past 3 or 4 years, that actually has gone down. We cannot allow that to happen any further.
Dr. Paul Boyle has directed several large aquaria and is an expert on environmental outreach. He stressed that for people to care about protecting the oceans, they must learn more about the oceans and teach others.
Teach your children about the oceans. The more you know, the more you'll see. And then tell somebody about it. I would ask all of you to go home tonight and tell your other family members and neighbors that almost 3/4 of Earth's oxygen comes from the ocean. They will be startled.
This is our song for the oceans.
Musician Kristen Hoffman wrote Song for the Oceans specifically for World Ocean Day. She hopes it will be sung by 1 million people.
I think that using music and using a song to get people involved in a cause can be so powerful. And I felt that tonight. I felt people's energy and people's enthusiasm.
Upcoming environmental events include a Clam Bayou cleanup on June 16th and the Pinellas Living Green Expo at the Coliseum in St. Pete on June 16th and 17th. For WMNF News, reporting from St. Petersburg, I'm Sean Canan.